How to Do Good Deeds, Part 10 in the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 472. Is it on? Cut it on. In the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, and I'm so glad that I'm alive to be able to serve God. I hope you are. It's a privilege and it's a joy. And you're going to realize how much it should have been a privilege and a joy to you when you get on the other side. And some of us will be there sooner than what we think, because people are dying every day. And you're no better than they are. Little children are dying. There's a beautiful young lady in the seventh grade right now who may die from a gunshot wound that she received in her class when she was taking a test. So do not think you are better than they are. Do not think that you are above them. You can leave here today, dear Christian, dear lost person, dear person who is not a Christian. Don't think you're better than other people, because you're not. How to Do Good Deeds, Part 10, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 472, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 839, since January the 1st, 2016. And technician, make sure you're accurate on these numbers, because I'm taking a break right now. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, and they have their reward. But thou, an old English word for you, but you, when thou you prayest, or pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. In other words, just because you talk a lot does not mean that God is hearing your prayers any more than the person who is rather laconic in their prayers, or who only says a few words. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We say with your servant Peter, he was so excited on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And it is always good for us to be in your presence in the house of the Lord. And we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this blessing, and we thank you for this joy to hear your holy word and to sing the songs of Zion. Have mercy and grace upon us, forgive us, and cleanse us from all of our sins as we from our hearts. By your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would save those souls that are nearest hell by your might and power in your glorious gospel. In the words of your servant Billy Graham, the power is in the preaching, the simple preaching of the gospel. And we pray that Christians would be encouraged and revived to keep on keeping on for you. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness away from this place and away from your people who have that issue, that they would think rightly, that they would remember their chastisement, the pain of their rebuke, so that they would say no to the devil and no to the Judas spirit and say yes to you, God, in their behavior and what they do. Help them to learn from the pain of their chastisement to obey you. Help them to learn one of the most important lessons that a Christian can learn, and that is obedience. In the words of Sister Thompson, obedience is the key. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is indeed a good thing, yea, a great thing. A good thing that every Christian ought to be engaged in. One of the most powerful things on earth is prayer to God Almighty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer was considered by the Jews one of the three good deeds that everyone ought to do, along with fasting and giving to the poor. And by the way, we ought to still do those things. As Christians, we ought to pray. As Christians, we ought to fast. As Christians, we ought to give to those who are less fortunate. And I believe oftentimes the poor are put there being angels unawares to test us, to see whether or not we're going to be selfish or we're going to share the blessings that God has given to us. And I believe that if you as a Christian don't give as you should in the back, if you don't love other people who are different than you are and help them, you might be in the soup line yourself. By the way, I passed by a church the other day, and I'm going to give some money to that church. Remind me, missionary. It's on Highway 35 coming out of Fort Worth. I've never seen a sign like this before. It's a church. It's not a homeless shelter. But they have a soup line, the old-fashioned soup line, similar to what E.V. Hill had in his church many years ago. For the hungry homeless who want a warm meal, I'm going to go by that place. And missionary, I may take you with me. We're going to give them some money to help them with their soup line. ladies and gentlemen, however, when we pray, we must pray in the right manner with the right motive. Can somebody say amen? We ought not to pray to be seen or heard by man. I said it before and I'll say it again. If someone ever walks up to you and say, oh man, I tell you, you really know how to pray, don't you? Man, I tell you, you have the ability to pray. You are something special. I assure you, that prayer was not heard by God. I assure you, I guarantee it. If anybody is motivated to say in any way, shape, form, or fashion after they hear you pray, man, I just have never heard such a powerful prayer before. You sure enough know how to pray. A Deacon Stevens really know how to really pray, doesn't he? I tell you, trust me when I tell you, that prayer went nowhere. You got your reward. You're just showing off. Now, by the way, there are many Negroes who are eloquent now. We're just gifted like that. We know how to string. Some of us know how to string some words together and make them almost rhyme. We're just gifted like that. You're not a Martin Luther King, but you know how to put some words together. Black folk. That's why most rappers are black, because we got it in us. We know how to string some words together. Okay, so don't think you all that because you prayed something that was poetic. And that's not the purpose of prayer, to be eloquent and poetic. The purpose of prayer is for God to hear your prayers and to answer your prayers. Amen, somebody. So God wants us to pray in the right manner if we want our prayers to be heard. God wants us to pray with the right motive if we want to see our prayers answered. This right manner, this right motive of praying is what Jesus describes in this passage. One aspect of praying right is praying in secret. Stop being a showboat. I said it to you before, I'll say it to you again. If you don't pray at home by yourself, if you don't pray with your family, just you and your family, if you don't pray in the car by yourself, please don't pray at church in front of everybody. Just sit down and be quiet. Lest you turn out to be a hypocrite, a phony, and a fake. And by the way, if you don't pray in your closet at home, your prayer is not going to mean anything at church in front of a whole lot of people. And the spiritual people in that church will know that your prayer has no power. And Jesus describes the reward of secret prayer in verse 6. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now you know that this is the word of God, because only God could think of stuff like this right here. If man wrote this, it would be all about people witnessing your prayers, people seeing you pray, and you will get the glory and not God. One of the reasons, by the way, God wants you to pray in secret is so that you won't get the glory when he blesses you. He'll get the glory. Amen, somebody. And so, beloved, many people strive for recognition, applause, a pat on the back, and rewards from others for something so spiritual and something that should be so personal between you and God, like prayer. And they completely miss out on the rewards that come from God and God alone, trying to show off. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You pray as you please. But if you don't pray like that at home, with all that straining and all that demonstration and the veins are getting ready to pop out of your neck screaming at God, God does not need for you to scream at him. God does not need for you to holler at him. You pray as you please. I'm just telling you. Make sure you're not showing off now. And make sure you're not trying to make people think you're so spiritual by all the volume. It's not about volume. It's about veracity. It's about being real. It's about being authentic. And that will come through to God where it matters. People today reward us for what they can see us do and pat us on the back. By the way, normally the message, the preacher who gets all of the applause for a message and the pats on the back and the loud amens, probably in most cases the message does not mean anything. It's the message that you preach and you feel like you failed is the one that God uses most, I believe, with all my heart. God rewards us for what people cannot see us do. Thank God for a preacher in Dallas who helps preachers who are struggling and who need some help, and he hides his hand. Now, I know who he is because God revealed him to me. God has blessed his ministry, and God has blessed he and his wife with money, and he and his wife, they do what they can to help preachers they believe in. But they don't know, the preachers don't know who they are. Daniel White III, stay awake. The preachers they help, they don't know. This preacher is one of the most meekest individuals you'll ever want to know. He does not want a pat on the back. He does not want any rewards. He does not want to be paid back. And sometimes he gives to preachers who fail him and disappoint him. But yet he gives. I'm not talking about $10, man. I'm not talking about 20. I'm talking about multiplied thousands of dollars to help his entire family, the preacher's family. God has blessed him like that. He's one of the meekest individuals you'll ever want to know. He's tried to help white preachers and black preachers. He's a black preacher, but and the white folks don't appreciate him. The blacks don't know who he is. But God does. Amen, somebody. You say, well, preacher, if you know who he is, why don't you reveal him and make everybody thank him? He doesn't want that. That's why. God has blessed him tremendously that way. He would be disappointed if somebody knew what he was doing behind the scenes. Him and his wife both. God rewards us for having the right heart, the right spirit, the right motive toward him and towards others. God rewards us for being faithful in private, secret prayer to him. Jesus talked about not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing. I mean, in other words, don't even let the other side of your body know what you're doing over here. Much less let somebody else know. May God deliver us from these Christians who have to tell everybody what they're doing for somebody, how they're praying for somebody, and please, God deliver us from those who are our enemies, who go around saying to them, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, you devil, get out of here. We don't need you. Now, I'm just going to put God on you. I'm going to pray for you. Please, go away. We don't need you praying. I don't want you praying for me. Because I don't know who you're praying to. And I don't know what kind of voodoo you're doing against me. Not only does God reward us, but he rewards us openly. Bam. You don't have to worry about it. But see, when God rewards us openly, he gets all the glory. You don't. He rewards us in such a way that others will see and will not be able to deny his blessings in our life. You say, what, preacher? What? God will bless you in such a way, my beloved, that people cannot deny that God has blessed you. God will cause people's mouths to shut up and make their mouths open and say, you know what? Boy, God has blessed you. Young man, young lady, God has been good to you. Openly. You must be praying to God in secret. Look at God in your life. Look. You know that you didn't do anything to get this. You know, God, I know God blessed you. I don't even have to try to talk with you about it. And you know it too, don't you? And you humbly say, yes, yes, sir. God's been good to me. I give him the glory. We give him praise. Amen, somebody. Mike Yaconnelly shares a story about Billy Graham in his book, Dangerous Wonder. The Adventure of Childlike Faith. What a title, by the way. Wow. The night before a crusade was to begin in Sacramento, California, the crusade choir rehearsal went late. One of the musicians in the choir was driving through downtown when he noticed a homeless man slumped over on the steps of the state capitol building. It was cold outside, almost midnight, and at that time of night, definitely not the safest place to be. He decided he couldn't ignore the plight of this poor homeless man. The homeless man was crouching almost cocoon-like on the steps, and the choir member reached out and gently touched his shoulder and asked, "Sir, can I help you? Are you okay?" The man looked up, and in that instant, the choir member realized it was Billy Graham himself praying for the city of Sacramento. It was not just the incredible preparation and work that brought thousands of people to Christ each time Billy Graham held a crusade. It's the fact that Billy Graham himself depended on the Lord's power through prayer. He was not trying to be seen. He was positioned in the perfect spot to pray for the city. Billy Graham engaged in secret, private prayer, and God rewarded him by blessing his ministry in public for the glory of God. Everybody saw the blessing, everybody saw the reward, but not everybody saw the prayer. And that's where the power is. That's why God used them so mightily. Just as with anything else in life, what you do in private behind closed doors will eventually show its effects in public. By the way, good or bad. Let's not be as the hypocrites are and pray to be seen by men and then receive empty rewards from men, which mean nothing. Let's be faithful in private prayer, the prayers that nobody else hears but God, private prayer to God, so that God will bless us and use us for His glory in the world for the good of others. Amen, somebody. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we give you glory, praise, and honor because we just heard from you. Lord, we don't know how you do it. We don't know why you did it this way. But may all glory, praise, and honor be to you. Thank you for giving us the privilege of prayer. That, Lord, even at our weakest moments, as I have experienced many times, you somehow gave me the grace, sitting in my easy chair, walking to take care of something, riding in a car, walking down the street, to just whisper a weak and feeble prayer. And I'm amazed at how that you'll hear that private, weak, feeble prayer and do marvelous things in the open. I give you the glory, the praise, and honor. And Lord, I know it sounds so familiar and so hackneyed and so trite. But you know the difference when people mean it when they say it. And so all we can say is thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. A dear friend of mine, here's an opportunity, you may be seated, for you to pray in private, to have something wonderful to happen for you openly. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus Christ said himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, very clearly, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Understand with me, dear friend, that you are a sinner. You already know this, but nobody's ever told you this before. Nobody told me for almost 19 years of my life. There were many times before that I almost died and went to hell. I love my parents. My dear parents didn't know to tell me. They didn't tell me. My grandparents didn't tell me. They all told me to go to church, sing in the choir, do the Easter parades and plays. I heard about Jesus, but I did not know that I was a sinner on my way to hell and what Jesus died for. He died on the cross to save my soul from hell. Somehow, in God's mercy, he allowed me to avoid dying that day when I was driving in my Mustang and the car hydroplaned and almost hit a pole in the middle of the highway, one of those big transformer looking type electric poles. When I almost drowned, when we would foolishly try to swim in the river that was too deep. When I used to go to clubs that would have shootings. God spared my life. For one day, for somebody named Michael Lewis to share with me what I just shared with you, that I am a sinner on my way to hell, and Jesus Christ came long ago to die on the cross, to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for my sins, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And all I had to do was believe in him. I didn't have to join a church to be saved. I did not even have to go to church to be saved. I didn't have to get baptized to be saved. I didn't have to speak in some tongue to be saved. I did not have to shout and jump and run around the church to be saved. All I had to do was believe on Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save me. And so you can pray in private right now, believing in your heart in private right now that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. No matter where you are in the world, whether you're receiving this live or on demand, whether you're receiving it on your iPhone, your Kindle, your iPad, your mini iPad, your Samsung pad or phone or laptop or computer, or if it's being projected in a village in India on a television set, or in Kenya, or in China, and you're gathered around on the ground to hear this message. And we thank God for thousands who have heard this poor preacher preach the gospel. No matter where you are or what language you're hearing it in, it is the power of God unto salvation. And all you have to do is believe on Christ and pray and ask him to save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now. As you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart in Christ. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please hear my prayer because of him. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I admit that I have lied before. I admit that I've taken your name in vain before. I admit that I have stolen things before. I admit that I have coveted and lusted after people and things that don't belong to me. Lord, that's four of your Ten Commandments right there. And so, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me for breaking your commandments. Forgive me, Lord, for committing crimes against you. And I understand that I deserve the lake of fire. I deserve to burn in hell because of my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon me, and forgive me of all of my sins. For I understand from your holy word that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away, he is the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And all I have to do is believe on him. Lord Jesus, I believe in you today. I receive you as my Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ that he suffered, bled and died, went through your hell on the cross so that you did not have to go to hell, that he was buried and rose again on the third day, allow me to say to you very clearly, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good. And we'll see you next time if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live.